you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1, reading from the 4th to the 9th verse. The word of the Lord says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven, somebody say, for me, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Notice this. Greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. If need be. Notice it says, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Just think on that for a moment. Sometimes you're going through something because you need to. Amen. Because there is an inheritance reserved in heaven for you. And you're not going to appreciate it unless you go through some stuff. Just saying. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, notice this, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, yet rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Would you turn to your neighbor and tell him, I know how the story ends. Tell him, I know how the story ends. God bless you as you're seated in the presence of the Lord. To an inheritance incorruptible, reserved in heaven. Now some of us will make reservations for places to attend, hotels and restaurants, and you'll reserve a spot. But the scripture tells us there's an inheritance that's incorruptible. It's undefiled and it doesn't fade away. Your shirts will fade. Some of you are wishing your tattoos would fade, and some people's good looks fade. But we have a inheritance that's reserved in heaven for us that is incorruptible and undefiled, and it's we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. And the Apostle Peter is telling us that we need to greatly rejoice, though now for a season. This is a season. If need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. That means a variety of temptations. It's where we get that word motley from. There's just a variety. And it's the trial of your faith. When you see the trial of your faith, it is that you would liken that to a court case where somebody has been arrested and they want to see if there's enough evidence to convict them or let them go. And I would even just stop here for a moment. Is there enough evidence to convict you in a court of law of being a Christian? In the criminal justice system, it's beyond a reasonable doubt. In the civil system, it's by the preponderance of the evidence. So however way you would look at it, the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold, is you go through some of the stuff the scripture says, if need be, because there is a reservation of an inheritance in heaven for you. It's waiting for you. The Apostle Peter is writing to the Jewish Christians that were scattered abroad. They were not in Jerusalem. They were not in Israel at this time. They were, as we would understand in Acts 1 and 8, tells us that they were going to be witnesses, and begins to talk about Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And the reason why they were scattered and witnesses after receiving the Holy Ghost was because that's what Jesus told them was going to happen. And it was persecution that drove the believers to what we would define as the uttermost parts of the earth. And so the Apostle Peter is writing in 1 Peter 1 and 1. He says, to the strangers scattered throughout. And he's telling us these places that they went. And the purpose of his writing in this scripture setting was to offer encouragement to the believers that were suffering, to encourage the Christians. They were under persecution. It was increasing. We understand that they were in persecution under the Roman government, under the Roman authorities. And we see in Hebrews chapter 11 some of the things that our brothers and sisters had to go through. And if you're looking for a book to read Fox's Book of Martyrs. It will tell you about some of the leaders of the early church, what they went through, where they were literally crucified on a cross upside down. They were literally sawed in half. And these were some of the things that took place. This Apostle Peter that is writing to us, he himself was crucified on a cross upside down. And he's writing, and he's telling us to that you're going to go through some stuff. There's seasons of life and things that we go through. We at times want to fast forward things in life. We want to not go backwards. I don't want to go backwards. I want to go forward. But many times we want to fast forward with our life. You when you're a kid, sometimes you can't wait to be 10 or 12 or 14 or 16 or 18 and 25. And then you realize, wow, I wish I could be 12 again. Anybody ever make that say, I just be a kid and have summer all the time. But we got to enjoy the journey. We want to fast forward and not enjoy the journey. And the psalmist tells us in Psalm 118 and 24, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice. He gives us an opportunity there to rejoice. That means to be joyful and redo it again and be glad in it. Doesn't tell us to maximize the day and to get as much as you can accomplish, but it says this is the day that the Lord has made. We or I will rejoice and be glad. And there has never been a day like today. There has never been a November the 21st, 2021. We are here. This is a day that the Lord has defined for you. He has made you available for this day. You get to choose the decisions and your actions and your response to things, but He's given us a free will to love Him back. He's given us the opportunity to praise Him and to thank Him for His mighty acts and according to His excellent greatness, because we know how the story ends in life, that if the Lord allows, and it so be it, that tomorrow the Lord will have another day for us full of circumstances and situations that we will get to choose how we will act, behave, and respond. But it doesn't matter what the day brings. The scripture says, I will rejoice and be glad in it. Good day, bad day, long day, sad day, a weary day. It's still a day that the Lord has made. We get to choose the ending of how we're going to look at the day and say, you know what? It didn't start out the way I wanted to, but I'm going to end the day with prayer and worship and thanksgiving, giving God the glory. Rejoice means to be glad, to take delight, to be joyful, to celebrate. We come into the presence of the Lord is to, we get to celebrate. We get to celebrate. We get to celebrate what the Lord has brought us from. It's we know that this world is not our home, and we're passing through, but there are things along the way that are equipping us, that are helping us to become closer to God with holiness and with our worship and becoming available to be positioned so that we can be built on the potter's wheel to withhold whatever he's going to put in us, a spiritual vessel. Amen. It's in the details of life where we become rooted and grounded. The psalmist tells us in Psalm 1:1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight, somebody say my delight, is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. It's in the details of our relationship with the Lord where we become like the tree, the scripture says, planted by the rivers of water. Notice verse 3 of Psalm. It says, and he will bring forth fruit in his season. In fact, it's his fruit in his season. It doesn't say that you get to go to somebody else's tree and take the fruit off of their tree and put it on your tree. No, it's your fruit in your season. It's a season. Seasons come and go. We've just entered into a new season. Amen. Season of Thanksgiving. Some of us can't even think right now because you're worried about Thursday. And a lot of life happens between now and Thursday. Haven't we learned? But it's the holiday season. It's the Thanksgiving season. It's the season where the changing of the leaves and the sweater and the scarves come out. It's the pumpkin roll season. Praise God. It's the pumpkin latte season. It's the eggnog season. And it's a season where it's cold mornings and it's dark when you leave, and Brother Paco, it's dark when you get home from work, and it's a season that some people don't prefer and others love, and it because they prefer the time of year when they can work outside all day long and work in the garden, and because they work in a environment where it's dependent on working outside, the more they can be outside, the more money they make. But notice this. We have to go through this season in order to get to the next season.
Yes. Yeah.
Come on, somebody.
Amen.
You don't get to skip seasons in the natural world.
No, you don't.
You don't get to skip seasons in the spiritual realm either.
That's
right.
Nothing on earth lasts forever. In fact, Scripture tells us in Ecclesiastes 3, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Living for the Lord is the best life.
Yes, it is.
Well, I would have thought I had 100 amens. Living for the Lord is the best life. In fact, I want to go on record and say, if you're not living for the Lord, you're not even living. But living for the Lord is the best life. Being filled with the Holy Ghost is powerful. Jesus said, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon. Being filled with the Holy Ghost is comforting. Bible tells us in John, but the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. The reason why some people aren't comforted is because they don't have the Holy Ghost. Living for the Lord is peaceful. Jesus said in John 14:27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth. Let not your heart be troubled. Let it not be afraid. Somebody say, because I know how the story ends.
Amen.
The Apostle Paul is writing to us in this epistle, and he's telling us about the trial of your faith. We are going to face trials. You know what a trial is? It's a test. When you break that down, it's a test. In fact, he writes to us in chapter 4 on verse 12. He says, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you. It's going to try you.
Yeah.
Don't think it's strange that something has happened to you, but know this. He tells us in verse 3, but rejoice in as much as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad with exceeding joy. You're going to have times living for the Lord where you're going to face challenges and you're going to have persecutions. In fact, Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and 12. He says, yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Let me tell you something. What if every time you had a challenge on your job, you decided to stay home and not go to work? What if every time you had a disagreement with somebody on the job or with your boss, you, when it came payday, you're like, you know, it's not worth it. Give them the check back and say, you keep it, you know, you're not paying me enough to deal with this. No, you take the money and then you tell them, hey, I need more because what you're putting me through, you owe me double than this check. So I'm going to cash this on good faith, but I'm going to come back for more. Wouldn't you be glad that it works that way? But can I tell you, when you're serving the Lord takes good care of his people. Because we know how the story ends. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But somebody say, I know how the story ends. Because Matthew 5 and 10 tells us, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You're going to face temptations. Yeah, we're going to face temptations, trials. Sometimes it's a temptation. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it.
Amen.
That's from the word of the Lord. Can anybody testify? I see a whole lot of witnesses here this morning that could testify of the faithfulness of God. Because I know how the story ends. I've been tempted. I've been tried. I've been through the fire. I've been on the mountaintop. I've been in the valley. I've been broke. I've been busted. I've been disgusted. But my God has never, ever failed me. He always provides a way of escape. But James writes and tells us in James 1 and 2, he says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, somebody say, when I'm tried, I shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. God does not break his promises. And so you can either give in to the temptation, you can stay in the temptation, you can grow in the temptation, and when it's done, it brings forth death, or you can rebuke it, you can stand against it, and declare, as Paul writes, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. So when temptation comes, I'm going to stand in the face of temptation, rebuke it, I'm going to stand right here, and I'm going to declare that with God, all things are possible. If I got to run, if I got to hide, if I got to be like Joseph and leave some things behind, I'm going to do it because I know the rest of the story. You're going to face tribulations. Somebody say, oh my. I don't know about you, but I prefer not to be the example for tribulations.
Exactly.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
John tells us in John 16 and 33, he says, I tell you these things, that in me you might have peace. But in the world you shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You know what tribulation is? It's pressure. Tribulation is pressure. There's a lot of pressure. Some of you are dealing with pressure that you put on yourselves because you're trying to live up to unreasonable expectations from other people. You're trying to be who people want you to be rather than what God needs you to be. Come on, somebody. The pressures of life. The pressures to perform. To please people, but not please God. That's pressure.
Amen.
To dealing with people. The expectations of life. Stresses. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
And by being real enough this morning, you got stresses. Mom doesn't want you to do this, and the professor wants you to do that, and your boyfriend wants you to do this, and the Bible says to do that, and the inner man and the outer man and the pastor and the church and the government. You got all this pressure. You can't even breathe on your own, and you're walking around all crazy. Can I tell you, you're going to lose your mind unless you can get instilled back in the Word of God. It's heaven or hell. That's how the story ends. Pressure. There's anguish. Tribulation is trouble. We've got trouble, family trouble, financial trouble, societal trouble. In fact, Job tells us in Job 14 and 1, man that is born of woman is a few days in full of trouble.
Amen.
I would tell you, I'll give you this pastoral advice. Don't volunteer for trouble.
No.
But when you're in it, and if you're living for the Lord, the psalmist tells us that the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and deliver them out of some of the troubles. All of the troubles. Todo. You got afflictions. Has anybody here never had affliction? All right, we've all had afflictions. The psalmist tells us in Psalm 34, and 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord, again, pero Dios, deliver him out of them all. We know how the story ends. When you got affliction, you got trouble, the Lord will deliver you. It's trying you. You ever hear somebody say that we've just got to let the kids go through it, right? Any of your parents ever say that? Just got to let them learn on their own.
Oh yeah.
We can't always bail them out. Well, you want to and you can, but then you're just saying, well, they got to learn. The training wheels have to come off the bike at some time, right? Yeah, right? They got to learn. Every time they cry, we don't have to go to the room because they'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Let them cry themselves to sleep. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
Trying, testing. It's the way it is. I remember my pastor would do things to me because he was testing my spirit, trying me. The Lord will do things to test us, to try us. We ask God for more, but in order to receive more, we've got to give, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Freely give.
Yeah.
To whom much is given, much is required, right? You have received much, you give much, but we're hoarders. Spiritually, we're hoarding stuff. Say, well, it's my talent, it's my time. I've had people say, well, I'm only available if I could be on the platform. Well, guess what? You won't be on the platform. Come on, somebody. But if I'm on the platform, Pastor, I'm available for both services. Well, I just keep you there in the seat and worship till you pray through. And then we'll see if there's a spot available for you. But we do that. We want to hoard. It's mine. It's mine. It's not yours. It's His. All the earth is the Lord. And we know... It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. So if we give it, we give back to Him, and we have our arms and hands open to receive more from the Lord. We know how the story ends. You can't outgive God. That's the principle of stewardship. And it doesn't just apply to finances. It's time and it's talent. Some things are beyond our ability, but nothing is beyond the ability of the Lord. Angelina, we get in the midst of tribulations, and Paul tells us what to do in the middle of tribulations.
Yeah.
Romans 12 and 12, he says, rejoicing in hope. Well, we can do that.
Yeah.
No problem. Continuing instant in prayer.
Yeah.
Oh, we can do that. Somebody say it's time to pray.
Time to pray.
But Sister Marquez, it's that middle part. You see how he kind of sandwiches that in between, like patient in tribulation. Wow. Like, why does he have to write it like that? Can't he just delete that? Couldn't that have gotten lost in translation like 300 years ago, you know? But it's patient in tribulation. And some of you, I've watched, you were rejoiced in hope, you were patient in tribulation, and you continued instant in prayer, and today you're here in the presence of the Lord with a testimony like David had. I've been young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread, even in tough times, even in scary times, even in times of uncertainty and a pandemic and financial uncertainty and sins and backsliding and dry seasons and seasons when you wanted to quit, but you didn't know how to quit. You held on because you know how the story ends. Mm. Scripture says he is ever merciful and lendeth. And his seed is blessed. Somebody say, through it all.
Through it all.
You begin to recognize that some of the things you were going through was a test. It was a trial. It was a season. It's a season. It was an opportunity, or it is an opportunity for the Lord to reestablish you again.
Amen.
And take you out of one pot and put you into a bigger pot. Take you out of one pot because you've outgrown that pot and put you in the ground finally. You've graduated from being a plant in the pot in the kitchen counter to being transplanted into the backyard with all the other plants. Because if you would have came home from the nursery and went right outside into the garden with everyone, with all the other plants, you wouldn't have made it through the season. But somebody in their infinite wisdom said, I'm going to take this little plant from the nursery. I'm going to place it in a pot and I'm going to leave it in the house, give it a little sunlight. And at the right season, I'm going to transplant it into the yard where everybody could see it and it can handle the season. It's the same thing with you. Spiritually, the Lord transplants you. He revives you. He restores you so you can handle the season of what he's about to do for you. I know how the story ends, but if you hold on, God will do something in your life that the scripture says, even if he told you, you wouldn't believe it. But if you hold on, you'll start living for God for yourself. You'll see people that have moved forward where others have regressed back. But you held on. You know how the story ends, where Galatians tells us, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season. Some of you are about to walk into a due season. You're overdue for some stuff. I would have thought I would have had somebody run the aisles on that and say, yeah, Pastor, I'm overdue for some stuff. I got some prayers that the Lord hasn't answered yet. I'm overdue for a blessing. I'm overdue for a miracle. I'm overdue for God to open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. It's a due season. I've sat here and I've watched everyone else receive their blessing, their healing, their deliverance, and it's me. I'm next in line for God to do something for me. It's my season. I know how the story ends because I've watched other people get theirs, and I've sat here and I've looked and I've did my best to rejoice with them that rejoice, and it's about to be it's about to be due season for somebody. Even in an environment where there's change, God does not change, and his promise, all the promises of God are in him, yes and amen. It's about to be a due season for somebody. You've been through it. You've been through the chemotherapy. You've been through the surgeries. You've been through the backslidden children. You've been through the confusion of this world. You've been through COVID, you've been through the divorce, you've been through the layoffs, you've been through the pink slip, we've been through the death of our beloved bishop and many others that the Lord has called home. But we know how the story ends. The psalmist tells us, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of the saints. They made it. They're there getting things ready, prepared for us, aligned and ready. So when we get there, we can see our Savior, a crown and a mansion, streets of gold. We know how the story ends. Some of you have faced loneliness, addictions, family trouble. You've seen people that you thought were strong in their faith, and they quit. And now they're compromising, drinking the deceptions of this world. But you've gotten a revelation of 1 Corinthians 15 and 58 for yourself. That I'm going to be steadfast. I'm going to be unmovable. I'm going to always abound in the work of the Lord. For we know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. I've watched many of you get closer to God. Pray more. You rejoice more. You do what Paul tells us in Philippians 4 and 4. To rejoice in the Lord always. And again, he says to rejoice. Woo! Serving the Lord is where it's at.
Yeah.
Yes, amen.
Living for God is where it's at.
Yeah.
Right.
But there's going to be trial. How do you know something can hold 150 pounds unless it's tested to hold 150 pounds? How do you know you can trust your kids with a 15 minutes extra of curfew before they can get an extra hour? You test them. How do you know that you can handle $1 million if the Lord can trust you to manage $2,000? Come on, somebody. It's the trial of your faith. It's the validating of your trustworthiness. It's proof. Think about Job. You think that Job got all that he had at the very end of the book of Job? You think he got all that just because? No. He got all that because for 40 plus chapters, he didn't curse God and die.
Amen.
He didn't charge God.
No.
But he had a statement that he made that was so profound. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away.
Amen.
But blessed be the name
Amen.
Of the Lord. He goes on to say, my Redeemer liveth.
Yeah.
We know how the story ends. But Sister Veto, if we would have told Job at the beginning, this is what's going to happen, this is how it's going to happen, he may have lost his mind. It was a test approved by God. Said, recommended when the Lord... What if the Lord recommended you for the devil for a trial? Recommended you to the devil for a trial? Obviously, the Lord trusted Job.
Yeah.
Here, Pastor, this morning. And he's trusting us for this season of life that we're in. Somebody say, I know how the story ends. 1 Corinthians 1 and 9 is the musicians begin to make their way. God is faithful.
Yes,
2 Thessalonians tells us the Lord is faithful. If you've been under attack, there's got to be a reason.
Yes. Amen.
There's got to be a reason.
Yeah.
Somebody say there's got to be a reason.
Yeah.
Notice this. Isaiah 54 and 17 tells us the Lord, or no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. You know what the enemy likes to do? He likes to bluff.
Yeah.
I know there's nobody here that plays poker. If you did, God will forgive you. But the enemy likes to bluff. He likes to try to fake you out.
Yeah.
He's a liar. Right? Anybody testify the enemy's a liar?
Yeah.
But The scripture says, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. So what the enemy will do is, you've had a good prayer, went to church, you got your blessing, and then over here, he's creating chaos, deception, drama, hate, gossip, depression, temptation, lust, and you walk in over here, and he tells you, you're all alone. You're by yourself. I know you sang about God loving you. I know you prayed and you cried and you talked in tongues, but look at you now. Look, you got a shirt that says crazy for Jesus, but look at you now. You're over here and you done cut somebody off on the road. You've done called them a knucklehead. You got all, you're all mad, all uptight. You didn't shake somebody's hand. Now they think you don't like them. And he messes with your mind. Some of the biggest problems some of us have is the battle in the mind. That's why the scripture says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's your mind. It's the things you're watching on TV. You have no business watching. In fact, kick the TV out of the casa. It's the stuff you're looking about. You're looking on your phone. You need to get rid of. You need to delete. There's friends. There's friends that you're connected to that they disengaged you to your relationship with God, and you became the weakest link. But I know how the story ends. He that endures until the end, the same shall be saved. I know I'm preaching to some people. You've been through the flood, the fire, you've been through stuff, but you're here in the presence of a holy God. He's brought you out of darkness into his marvelous light for such a time as this. So let the weapons form. We know how the story ends. Every tongue that shall rise up against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. Notice what it says. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. You have an inheritance in heaven prepared for you, and you have a heritage that no weapon, no tongue. If the devil's talking, he's lying. As we stand this morning, you have a spiritual inheritance. We know how it's going to end, either in heaven or in hell. Because one of these days, the trump of the Lord shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. You may be in heaviness right now of a variety of stuff. But if you hold on, we know how the story ends. I wonder right now if you would, before they begin to play, just begin to lift your hands and begin to lift your voice. Come on. Come on. Anybody ready to walk into a due season? You're due for some stuff. Come on. You've got some unspoken requests. You've got some things that you're talking to the Lord about. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all that we ask, think, or imagine, according to the power that worketh in us.